Going Linux episode 467, listener feedback.
No viruses, no fuss, just simple and clean. Going Linux, it's the ultimate dream. Forget the crashes and the constant lag with open source. You're never gonna sigh.
Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Bill.
Whether you are new to Linux, upgrading from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about moving to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in Going Linux.
We hope that you find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and open source applications and using them to get things done.
If you want to send us feedback, you can do that using our email address, which is goinglinux@gmail.com, or you can send us a voicemail at 1-904-468-7889.
In today's episode, listener feedback.
Hello, Bill.
Long time no speak, Larry.
Yeah, so between me being sick, you being sick, and us not having time to not be sick, it's been a while since we've recorded. So, I'm glad that you're recovered. I'm glad that I'm recovered. And now we can get back to normal recording, I hope. knock on wood.
You just said, no, is there a normal recording schedule lately?
I don't know.
It's like, I think I've been sick more this past year and a half than I ever have. So, yeah. Of course, when I went to the doctor for this last one, he said, we're going to do your physical exam too. And he says, you're in good shape. I said, I sure don't feel like I've been in good shape. He said, yeah. You know what his answer was? You're getting old. I'm like, oh, joy, this is so much fun.
Yeah, thanks for the words of encouragement.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
I am. And I'm still running Zorin OS, believe it or not.
Ah, okay.
But yeah. See, you've made a jump.
Yes, not on my daily driver machine, but on my backup machine that I use regularly. Mm-hmm. I have moved to Linux Mint, back to Linux Mint. Yeah, I decided that I was going to use, for a while now, I've been running Ubuntu Cinnamon, so I've been using the Cinnamon desktop. But I thought, well, if I'm using Cinnamon and things in Ubuntu are, basically the same, not identical, but basically the same as Linux Mint, and I like the way that Mint has done a few things a little bit differently than Ubuntu has, I thought I would just give it a try and give it another try. And it's comfortable. It's just what I wanted, something that I don't have to think about, and I know it's going to work. And it's good being back on Mint.
You know, they do such a good job with them, with their distribution. It's very. I'm sure Ubuntu Cinnamon, it's good. It's just not as polished. You cannot get the polish on Linux Mint. It's like here's the desktop, and it's usually brown or something for the Ubuntu Cinnamon, but when you look at Linux Mint, it's so polished. I mean, they found what needs to be done. They can update it. You don't see any radical changes. You're not going from like Windows 8 or Windows 7. Yeah, like what? Windows 7 was the one that didn't suck that much. So from Windows 7 to Windows 11, it's not a totally different paradigm. It's like a...
Right.
I actually went and looked. I had an old copy. And, besides just a few, round corners and, some other stuff, they look almost exactly the same, which is nice when you're trying to get work done.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, You can change a lot of things on both Mint and Ubuntu Cinnamon, and I have the two computers looking almost identical.
Do you?
Yeah, there are a few things that are different.
Okay.
And what I found with Ubuntu Cinnamon, yes, I had to do a few tweaks that you don't have to do on Mint. Now, I had a few tweaks to do on Mint that you don't have to do on Ubuntu in general. And those include opening up some of the updates so you aren't locked into a subset of system updates. There's several levels of security, let's just put it that way, that Mint rates updates, and they make it the most secure they can. And I'm willing to take a few more risks than that. So I've opened it up a little bit there. And what else? There were a couple of things that come out of the box on Ubuntu, the main Ubuntu distributions that I had to add to Mint to turn them on. But all of that was a configuration in the control panel or whatever it's called, control center. All these distributions call it something different, but let me see here. System settings, control center. It's called both. So there you go. So most of it was configurable there, and like I said, I had to add some of the less secure repositories to get some of the things that I wanted to get. I did not turn on snaps, but I did turn on what I needed to turn on to make Flatpaks work a little bit better. So just a couple of tweaks, and quite a bit fewer tweaks than I had to do with Ubuntu Cinnamon. So I'm happy with that.
I don't know if you'd agree with me on this, but I would say for the best cinnamon experience out of the box, or I would say one of the best experiences out of the box, I would have to say Linux Mint is right up there. It is really well done. And their funding it always shows that people keep it funded, and I. What I'm kind of going with this is people will support a project that's given them the ability to get to do things and enjoy their using their computer. And
Right.
I mean that if you look at their funding, they're doing very well. People will support and pay for developers, but you've got to give the people what they want. And what they do is they're like, hey, if you like this, you need to support us. I mean,
Yep.
and they're not hiding it, they're not behind, not begging or anything. I mean, I've been hearing a lot of distributions or projects that are having financial problems and stuff like that. Well, and then you have Mint, who, and to some extent, Zorin has a little different funding method.
Different model, yeah.
They're both successful and they're both open source. I'm just like, look, guys, it's possible to have good open source. I mean, they sat down in Linux Mint and they really did add stuff that you will that some of the stuff like, oh, that's a good idea. Like that Hypnotix, that TV viewer that you can watch through at
Oh,
one.
yeah.
Yeah,
Okay. I
that's
haven't
a
tried that yet.
That's
Yeah.
a nice feature because you can watch. I was used it one time to watch it. I know I'm such a rebel. Great British baking show or whatever it was called.
Oh, yeah. Right, right.
It was really good. I was like, this is great. So I don't
Yeah, I've
know.
heard that's really popular. Yeah.
I know, but it's like I'm not gonna cook it, but I'll watch other people cook it. Makes no sense. But anyway, enough about baking.
Okay, well, since this is a listener feedback episode, maybe we should get to our listener feedback.
Yeah, I think you should read one from Reed.
Okay, let me do that. Here we go. Reed wrote about supporting open source, just what we're talking about here. He starts off saying, "Dear Barry and Lil." Okay.
That's funny.
And provides us a link to the System 76 donation page. Let's read his email first. I always cheer up when a new Going Linux episode pops up. Thanks for illuminating our free world in your entertaining way. Remembering your comments about supporting open source, I thought you'd find this interesting. See link. If you don't already know about it, this supports System 76 efforts, of course, but they have some interesting projects. I can testify that their open firmware is clean and fast, and once someone gets the thrill of contributing to open source, maybe they won't stop. I heard you say, Bill, that you are going to do a deep dive with MX Linux. I'm using MX on a Raspberry Pi 5 with our TV to monitor the local AIS network. It tracks maritime assets. I run a small tug company. MX has been running great and seems to like the Pi hardware just fine. Very useful and complete OS for the Pi 5. Thanks again for all you do, Bill, Larry. Sorry about the joke. God bless you both. Well, thanks, Reed. Well, you don't have to apologize for the joke. We don't apologize for our jokes, so.
And a lot of my jokes are dad jokes, even though I have no kids except two furry ones. So yeah, hey, yeah, you have to put up with our jokes, so you know.
Yeah.
No worries.
Well, and your furry kids, they enjoy the jokes, so we're good.
Yeah, they enjoy the jokes, and we always enjoy what Reed writes. But Reed, I have already done the deep dive to MX. I talked several times about it. It's a nice project. Not for me, but I think that's mainly because I'm getting old and I just don't want to keep messing with my computer all the time. So I've been kind of hanging around on Xorin OS, and but MX is a good choice. That's another good project that a lot of people like. It's always been highly rated, so yes, it's really good.
Good, yeah, and thanks again, Reed.
Thanks, Reed. So our next one is from Daniel, who asked about Fedora. He said, I'm using Fedora on my machine and find it quite reliable. Have you tried that, and how about Bill? Okay, so I'll let you answer this one first, Larry.
Yep, I have not tried Fedora.
Okay.
Quick answer to a quick question. No, I haven't.
Okay, I have.
Yeah.
Of course, right? I have. It's like I asking if I like to eat, you know? Yes, I have tried Fedora. It is very good. They just I think the latest release of Fedora has KDE as is an officially supported version. It used to be a spin, which was a community based, but it's always been GNOME or GNOME based, you know, and with all the spins, if you want something different. Now they have the KDE, the Cosmic version, and the GNOME version. So, hey.
Lots of choice. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and that's not including the Hyperland, there's another one, I can't remember what it's called. It's another desktop that's, you know, coming up. So long story short, and you know, they're on top of things, and I know someone said they just rewrote their installer, Larry, to make it easier to use.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. So
yeah, I said I hadn't tried it. I tried it a long time ago, so I haven't tried what they have out today.
Yeah.
At the time, I decided, I was trying to decide between RPM and Deb-based Linux distributions. And I decided on Deb very early on after trying OpenSUSE. And that's RPM-based, of course. And it was okay, but I preferred the Debian-based distributions for my personal preference. So I haven't gone back. I was toying around with going back to OpenSUSE, but tried out the latest version and then figured out why I didn't like it again. So that's why I'm looking back again at Linux Mint. So, but nothing against Fedora. It's just not for me.
Okay.
Moving on, Liz wrote a very long email commenting on the state of the world. Yeah, sit back, get out the popcorn. Here we go.
Okay.
I haven't been listening to any podcasts lately. I took a break from all the bad. Snaps and Flatpaks. Hate them. It's an OS in an OS, like running Linux virtually in Windows. They're a band-aid to fix incompatibilities in Linux distros. It's a Linux app that should run in Linux. If this keeps up, Linux will become as horrid as Windows. Ukraine and Russia. The Indiana State Library System has blocked all sites from those countries and wherever start page is from and more. Censorship is alive and well in Indiana. Android App Store has also deleted content from those countries. Several of my favorite apps were from the Ukraine and disappeared. It's not the people, it's the effing governments that are bad, and that includes the U.S. Kernel, time is messed up with Termux and Android. Some kind of weird error for certain months and years. TZ equals GMT in scripts fixes it. Termux says it's Android. Android says nothing. Daylight saving time is messed up in Linux Mint Mate, but since my catastrophe and system reload, it seems to be working fixed now. Thank God, I religiously do backups. Only a few new files were lost. What did I do? Trying to fix something, and it went wrong. System is nice and clean now. Mozilla. Firefox is okay on the PC, but horrid in Android. They're like everything else in the world, it's all going to crap. This is why I took a break from podcasts. Bad. Yeah, this was a long comment. Enjoy the collapse, the fall of the empire. Well, Liz. Yeah, Liz, I'm sorry your feelings are down on the world.
Liz, I understand. I get it. That's why I use open source, because it's kind of like a safe island in all the craziness, okay?
But it sounds like even Linux is not immune from the effects of the world's going on here with, you know, applications being dropped from, say, you know, app stores and things like that. But Liz, a wise person once said, "This too shall pass."
Just yeah,
be patient.
It will pass. Some of the stuff you said, I get, because the snaps and Flatpaks. I like Flatpaks. If I can get a native version, I will do that. One of the ones that works better natively is Steam, so I try to grab that. As far as the Ukraine and Russia stuff, you know, I've noticed that a lot of stuff has been removed, and there was a program, I can't remember what I was, I had it on there, and I noticed it wasn't there anymore. And sometimes it's a government thing where they say you got to take it off. So, yes, and we all know about censorship, babe. We'll only touch that. Now, what I was trying to figure out is time is messed up with Termux now in Android. Now, Termux, what is Termux, Larry?
You know what? We should probably look this up.
Yeah, I actually did.
Oh, you did? Okay, good. Yeah.
It says, let's see. Termux is a free and open source application that lets you run Linux commands on your Android device without rooting or setup. You can install packages, access remote servers, edit files. So, yeah, you can do, apparently it can do quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I guess if you have an Android phone and you want to use Linux commands on it or install a package This would allow you to do that without having to do all the routing and stuff. And so, yeah, that's actually, I could see why she'd be a little bit irritated about that. That sounds cool. Mozilla, yeah, Firefox okay. On the PC, I don't really particularly enjoying Firefox right now, but it's hard in Android. I have Firefox on my iPhone, and I don't think it's horrible, but most of the time Safari is just what I use. I don't do anything massively crazy on the phone. Maybe look up something, but yeah, I guess with the way things are going right now, Liz, is I've had to change how I don't read as much news and much anymore. Most, and I changed my podcast to. I have that one is Star Citizen. I play that game, so I'll usually listen to those. And then everything else is tech, like Linux and what the latest, like Windows Weekly and stuff, just to keep track of what goes on. But I find that most of mine are all mostly open source. Linux, Mintcast. I would suggest doing that if you enjoy. I enjoy listening to my podcasts because it makes work go by quick. And so I just stay away from the news ones, and just try to keep it to a minimum. And because I was feeling a little bit like Liz, it's like everything's on the crap. But it seems like if you take a step back, it helps it for me anyway. So I can understand why Liz says, I just had to take a break. I just had to take a break. I get it.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of wisdom in stop watching the news. One side is going to sensationalize, one point of view, and the other side's going to sensationalize the other point of view. And the truth may be somewhere in the middle, but it's never as bad as a sensationalist would have you think.
Yeah, they definitely go for the clicks.
Exactly, right. So,
But we try to keep, we do try to keep politics to a minimum here on Going Linux, but we get it. We get it.
yeah,
We
we
can't
do.
get it rid of it all of it, because it's just so is everywhere. But we do try to give a short sabbatical. So come, you can listen to us anytime, and make fun of us, Liz. We'll take it. Okay.
Yeah.
I hope you feel better, Liz. So our next email comes from David, who switched from Zorin back to Mate. He said, "I went to Zorin about a year ago and kept it up to date. I like the resolution and it looks very nice. However, it got slower, so I deleted and installed Mate, and now this cheap laptop PC, 4 GB, wow, is very fast. The browser windows are larger, but I have compensated by putting hiding tabs on the left side of the page so I get a good view. Using the best browser there is, Brave, on this and my Macs. The reason I wrote you is that I have detected a real liking of Zorin in some of the most recent shows and wanted to give an example of an opposite experience. Back on Mate, and never going back to anything else. Enjoy your show, David." Hey, David. Thank you for letting us know. We have been very positive about Zorin, and you probably know that we've been positive about Ubuntu Cinnamon and Linux Mint. If it's a good distro and we like it, we'll let you know. I mean, we're not perfect. And I think Larry will agree with me when we say this, is that if you found something that works good for you, use it.
Yes,
Just,
exactly.
yeah, this is not whether one's better than the other. Larry and myself, we've tried different stuff over the years, and sometimes we find something we really, really like, and sometimes we're like, no, thank you for the effort. But
Yep.
we will never bash anybody for using something that works for them. And frankly, Mate is a great operating system. And Larry, didn't you write a book about them?
I did. I seem to recall that. Yeah. Ubuntu Mate is a very good distribution, and it is its development, I think, has slowed down a little bit, and I wouldn't doubt that it gets picked up again as time goes on. And I agree, Bill, that the choice of a Linux distribution and even within a Linux distribution, which desktop environment to use is really a matter of personal choice. And the
It is.
only way that you can decide is to try it out. I mean, you could watch YouTube videos, you could listen to other people's opinions about it, all of that. But until you try it out, you really don't experience the difference between how, let's say, Linux Mint has implemented Cinnamon versus the way Ubuntu Cinnamon has implemented Cinnamon. There are definitely, it's the same desktop environment, Cinnamon, but the way they've implemented it is very different. And let me take that back. It's not very different. It's different enough that you will notice, and some of those things are personal preference. And one of the things that, as I mentioned, is drawing me back to Linux Mint is the things that I find that I like are already there out of the box with Linux Mint for the most part. And that's my criteria for wanting a distribution. If you want a distribution that challenges you, that helps you to learn how to use Linux, or helps you how to program, or runs the software that you want to run because it's something very specific, like 3D printing or something like that, then you'll choose a different distribution. Maybe you'll choose a different desktop environment, but it's personal choice.
Yep, and just do what use what you find enjoyable, and don't worry about what anybody else says.
Exactly.
All right.
All right, so now let's move on to what Frank wrote to us in his email. He wrote with a quibble about our Office Suites episode 466. He writes, "In discussing WPS, you said that it was the first Office Suite to be mentioned to have anything to do with PDFs." Sorry, I can't remember the exact wording. "LibreOffice has had the capability to export a document to PDF format. I used to edit a newspaper for my community and use that feature for posting the newsletter to the community website. As I said, a quibble. Keep up the excellent work." Well, thanks, Frank. I think ex I can't remember the exact words either, but if we said it was the first distribution to have anything to do with PDFs, that is not what we meant. What we meant was, and I think what we said was, it's the first Office Suite to out of the box enable editing PDFs and within, from an Office Suite, as opposed to having a separate application to do the editing. I think that's certainly what we meant, and I think that's what we said. So quibble accepted, but I think we were right.
Yeah, but hey, thanks for pointing that out. And yeah, if we do make mistakes, Larry's perfect. I make the mistakes for this group here. Okay, so I'm just saying. But yes, if there's a mistake, it was probably me. And but I appreciate you do that you did pull it out and let us know about it. But here's a question for you. How do you like WPS? Do you have a specific one that you like? Do you like LibreOffice better? I'm just kind of curious. So, anyway,
Yeah.
curiosity.
And thanks for giving us an opportunity to talk about office suites again.
Yes, Office
Yeah.
Suites. Gotta love them. If they help me get my things done.
Yes.
Anyway. Moving on, we have another one from Gus, who Provides a solution for a cheap Linux backup solution. Ooh, I like cheap and I like backup, so let's see what he has to say. Hello, Bill and Larry. I know you've done episodes in the past about different backup solutions and services. I recently switched off Dropbox to Hetzner, and it's a German cloud VPS provider. For less than $4 a month, you can get a 1 terabyte storage server with SFTP, Samba, and FTP support. And he puts a link in the show notes in his letter. So it's in the show notes. Hetzner is a German-based hosting provider and has servers located in multiple countries. Storage boxes are hosted in Germany and Finland, and I believe that's what keeps the cost so low. If you're using it for long-term backups and don't need a super low latency server connection, which he says he doesn't, it can easily replace a service like Dropbox. It's definitely worth checking out. Their VPS hosting is also very affordable, and you can get servers in the U.S. for that. Thanks, Gus. Okay, thanks, Gus. That we like cheap, and definitely like different choices for backups, but that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'll have to look at
yeah,
those, Larry.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if that's in euros, though.
No, I think when I looked at their website, I think it's, you know, maybe it's because I was logging in from the U.S., but it was priced in U.S. dollars,
oh, okay,
as far as I can see. So it may, you know, adapt to your country of browsing. So anyway, yeah,
yes,
it is $4 a month. Yep.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
So it's 1 terabyte too, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of pictures and a lot of files.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's
it looks
awesome.
Like they've been in business for a while. Yeah, since 1997.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay, so they've
yeah,
been around
so
a while.
They've been around a while. Yeah, they have.
They've been around a minute, huh?
I'm not sure they were doing the whole thing that they're doing now back then.
Mm-hmm.
Hetzner Online Services is what they were known as. I'm reading from Wikipedia now. Between 2000 and 2015, Hetzner Online in Germany operated under the AG legal status, which is kind of like limited here in the United States, or limited liability of some sort. They changed their legal status in 2015. Company's named after its founder, Martin Hetzner. Okay, so there you go.
Okay, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to definitely look into that, because I was just thinking that Dropbox look like they had, I'm still grandfathered on their older free plan, but that thing getting kind of full, so either I'm going to have to start paying them, but it's definitely not $4 a month. And so this might be my new get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or so. For $4.
Well, yeah, $4. I mean, what's that? It's what, $48? Less than $50 a year?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Not bad.
If
not
it's
bad
reliable, and it seems like it would be. So, hey.
Yeah. Okay. It's been around a while, so I would expect it to be.
Yep. All right. So anyway, I don't have any picks today because I'm a slacker. So.
Okay. Well, hey, me too. So we'll
okay.
just go on. I'm thinking that maybe our next episode will be another Using Linux to Get Things Done episode.
You're exactly right.
Yeah. We don't know exactly what it'll be, but it'll be something. And
it's going to be something using links to get things done, but you have to actually listen to find out what I'm going to be talking about. I did
clickbait.
Yeah, clickbait. I'm trying to get that dopamine hit. Come on now, cut me in some slack. But yeah, going to see. I got a few more of these. I got more than a few of these planned. That, you know, we did office suites, so. one of the reasons that we're using this format is one, I conned Larry, and he's making me wash his car every day. three years I have to go wash his car. But seriously, Lance does a lot of stuff. You just sometimes you forget about what and how much is available that Linux can do. So I'm hoping to bring some more of this to light and also highlight some really cool applications and people who are writing stuff to make our lives better. So yes, please keep listening.
Okay. Yeah. My car is getting, it gets pretty dirty, you know, 3 years between washings. It's
well, you know, right, you know, so. just once a week stuff was just way too much, Larry.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay, so, it's dusty.
Well, I appreciate you writing up these episodes using Linux to get things done. I know it'll be good, whichever topic we settle on for next time.
Okay.
So until then, you can go to our website at goinglinux.com for articles and show notes, as well as links to download and subscribe. We provide the website for computer users who just want to use Linux to get things done.
And if you like, you can participate directly with our friendly and helpful community members by joining the discussion in our Going Linux podcast community on community.goinglinux.com.
Until next time, thanks for listening.
73.